This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to In Person with Dina Marie, our daily walk with Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother, and the saints in our everyday lives. Guests include priests, religious, husbands and wives, missionaries, authors, speakers, evangelists, and you. Explore the joy of the gospel as we share stories from the heart and how to navigate our journey of faith day by day. And now, In Person with Dina Marie on Modern Day Radio.
Welcome to another edition of our in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie. Each weekday, we come together and continue to share a message of hope, a message of mercy. And as Pope Francis mentioned, as Christians, we are not immune to suffering and persecution in the world. We know where we are going if we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are going directly into His most sacred heart. And a wonderful companion along the way is the Blessed Mother. And in those times of trial in our daily lives, which will happen here and there, we look to the comfort of the mission of the church. And the example of the saints, they move forward before us and said, this is worth it. It's worth it to be united with Jesus Christ and to not let this world be a distraction to living in the heart of Jesus Christ. I love the title of this book we're going to share with you today. It's called Lift Up Your Heart. And you hear the priest say those words in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. We lift up our hearts to the Lord. Are we lifting up our hearts to the Lord, or are we kind of holding it deep within ourselves and not really opening up for His love to purify us, to really cleanse us, and to be open to His most divine holy will? We're going to be on companion with a fellow priest, also a saint. It's been around a few hundred years. It's got a lot of wisdom to lead us into the heart of Jesus Christ. Newly released from Ave Maria Press is the book Lift Up Your Heart. This is a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. It's based on his book, Introduction to the Devout Life, written by Father John Burns. And he really takes this and offers an opportunity for us to take a, quote, modern-day retreat, but going back about 400 years to the writing of Introduction to the Devout Life by a doctor of the church, St. Francis de Sales, really makes this applicable to our daily lives today. Father Burns is a pastor at St. Mary's Parish in Wisconsin, over in Milwaukee, is a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, which is the home to Ave Maria Press, back in 2003, has spent a lot of time with different ministries, particularly working with Mother Teresa's sisters, the Missionaries of Charity. He's given various retreats and conferences. You also hear him a lot on Relevant Radio, and we're grateful to have him with us today, Father John Burns. Father John, thanks for joining us today on Mater Dei Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dina Marie. It's great to be with you all, and excited to talk about this really important topic of just moving into the heart of the Lord, as you said, using our Holy Father's words at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see how the Lord moved in your heart. Give us a sense of where you grew up. Did you grow up in a Catholic household? What was that formation like for you?
Yeah, my family was a normal Catholic family. Four kids, went to church on the weekends, prayed before meals. We just practiced our faith. We weren't like over the top or really intense, but we knew faith was at the center of our family and our friendships, and something we received from our parents. And so very much a normal upbringing. People ask this question a lot of me because my brother is also a priest. One of my sisters discerned religious life for a couple of years. And so everybody thinks, you know, like, what's in the water at the Burns house? Or what did your parents do? Right. They always ask that. What did your mom do? I'm like, mom was just a holy woman. Mom just prayed. Taught us to pray, taught us the faith, and that was that. The Lord really is the one who does the rest. Mm-hmm. So it's a story of a normal family that the Lord just decided He needed a couple of us to give our whole lives to the service of the church and that celibate ordained ministry. And so it's been a beautiful journey. We can get into that a little bit probably, but yeah, just a basic beginning in the Lord. And that's what's most important for families, I think, is that you just give the fundamentals to your children. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a pro. It doesn't have to be super creative. Just teach them what the church has been teaching down through the ages, and we've got more than enough right there to pursue the kingdom.
Absolutely. Father John Burns with us. His book is Lift Up Your Heart from Ave Maria Press. Father, getting into high school and preparing for college, there's a lot of different voices, a lot of different ideas out there pulling you, and from peer pressure to social stuff going on. Where were you at in terms of a relationship with the Lord, prayer life, and that really pivotal time in our development?
Yeah, I went the way of the culture very much. High school into college. In high school especially, you know, striving to be, you know, with the in crowd and popular and in the party scene all the way through high school, really into college, and listening to what the world was telling me, which was that I need to be rich and popular and have everything together, and then I'll be happy. And so I kind of bought that, you know, in high school when you start looking around and setting plans for your life. I bought into what the world said would make me happy, set myself up to pursue it. In college, I studied business, networked a lot, you know, tried to set myself up for a future of wealth and success. And down the line, well, I guess through the whole thing, to your question, Dina Marie, I practiced my faith, but not really with my heart. I think it was really just one roommate in college that kept me going to Mass. If he had not asked me early on, I'm pretty sure I would have stopped going to church in college. But and I say that to our kids who are going off to school, to college. I'm like, you guys, just find a friend or a couple friends who may, they don't have to be your best friends, but if they're the people who know what's essential and they're going to help call you to it and above and beyond some of the vices that are going to be out there, that's enough to sustain you. And I just speak that from my own experience. It was one friend that kept me going to church. That said, it was not a very holy time in my life. College, I was down the road of the culture and the world and engaged in everything that promises, which all is an empty promise, right? So in college especially, and then after, I started to just sort of have this sense that even as I was lining up all the things that the world told me I needed, I had what I thought was the right girlfriend, I had the right job offer, I had the right degree from the right university, and I was trying to like line up this future that I was so sure would make me happy. Each step I took down that road, I was less and less happy. And even though on paper I had what I had told myself I would need when I was little, it wasn't satisfying. And it took me a real long time, including a trip, I went on a 5-month-long trip around the world, well, through Asia and Australia and New Zealand, kind of running away from everything and sort of trying to find a little bit of clarity about who the heck I was. And it really wasn't until I started to pray, and actually pray, not just like talk, you know, when I needed something to God or recite some memorized prayers. When I finally opened my heart, I said, God, I've never really asked you what you want of my life. I've been telling you my whole life what I need and what I want. And Lord, is there something else? And that was the beginning of everything else, because there was something else, and I had been too stubborn to listen. I wanted to go the way of the world. As I went that way, I was unhappy. When I finally, in my mid-20s, said, Lord, I'll go a different way if you want, he said, please come this way. And the rest is history, and it's been just beautiful joy, much more beautiful than I could have imagined before I set out on this path.
Right. Father John Burns with us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. Lift up your hearts. This is a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales, just released a couple of months ago from Ave Maria Press. You started to call out to the Lord. You had that example of prayer growing up, and I think it's so important, as you mentioned, just those simple things at home in the domestic church, the daily prayer, the prayer before meals, prayer before bedtime. Maybe it is that morning offering it up during Lent that we remember as a kid, and then it comes back to us at a time of need. When you started to open up your heart, Father, a little bit more to the Lord, what started to change in your everyday life?
Yeah, well, I think the first part was the recognition that I needed to begin loosening my grip on trying to control life. You know, I was ambitious when I was young, and I had big dreams because, you know, rightly so, my family as well as teachers and professors all said, you know, dream and follow your dreams, and I set big dreams up. But when I started to analyze it, I realized that I was really grappling to be in control of that. And I was really working hard to set my life up the way I wanted it or the way I thought I needed it. And so as I began to just soften my heart or really just open it to possibly hear the Lord, what I discovered was that my clinging to control was at the heart of a lot of my problems, because I kept on doing what I thought I should do, what the world was telling me to do, and I kept on finding myself unhappy or sad or with a weighty heart. And so the beginning of the deeper conversion was just realizing that I had to surrender even just a little bit, just to loosen my grip and say, okay, Lord, I could be on the wrong path. I'm willing to finally admit that. And if you want to nudge me in another direction, please do so. And so it's very, when we begin to do that, it's very humbling because we have to basically admit that we're wrong. You know, I didn't want to admit that I was wrong about my life and what I was supposed to do with my life. And I had to say, God, I've had the wrong idea this whole time, or at least it's possible, and I'm willing to hear from you something else. So the beginning of accepting the Lord's guidance is an act of loosening our grip, a little bit of surrender, an act of being willing to trust God, and then to admit that, like, we've been a little bit proud or self-centered in our approach to planning and directing our lives, and we're willing to receive the loving but corrective guidance of the Lord because he knows us, you know, better than we know ourselves. So I began to let that happen. Of course, it really did feel like scales falling away, as St. Paul describes. Just a weight of sadness fell from my heart, even though I let go of some of my earthly or human dreams for what my life was going to look like. As I did so, I discovered that I was supposed to be in this relationship with the Lord who wants me happy. And I want me happy too, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord and I wanted the same thing. And I was fighting against him, trying to direct my life instead of saying, God, you want me happy. I want to be happy. Could you show me the way instead of me telling you what to do? So that's why humility is really just at the heart, I think, of the beginnings of deep conversion, Dina Marie.
Mm-hmm. When was that next step of really acknowledging that desire for the priesthood and looking at that vocation of God's call in your lives? Where did that fall into this transformation to prayer and to starting to let go of control?
Yeah, I believe deep down for me, the idea had been there since I was young,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want it, and so I fought against it. And, you know, only in looking back is it clear that I, you know, while I was at Notre Dame, I very clearly remember avoiding priests, including the rector of my dorm. I didn't want to know priests because I didn't want them to ask me if I ever thought about the priesthood. Like when I entered seminary for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, my rector from Notre Dame called within my first semester. He said, Burns, you're in the seminary? Like you, of all people? How did you slip past my radar? And I said, Father, it's because I was afraid. I didn't want to be a priest because it wasn't my idea of my life. And so I was avoiding you and avoiding all these priests. So looking back, mm-hmm. I think the impulse was always there, of course, because it's from the Lord. But in my sort of brokenness, I covered that up and pushed it down and tried to press that out of my life so that I didn't have to do something that wasn't in accord with my plans. But then finally, it was after this kind of run around the world, it was actually a very powerful moment. I was in Australia. I'd run out of money. I was backpacking. And so I took a job on a prawn trawler, like a big shrimp boat. And I was out at sea for like a month. And in the second week, I got stuck with kind of all the scummy jobs because I was the youngest and the newest of the crew. And I was sitting on the deck and the sun's going down over the sea. And I can't paint the picture beautifully enough. There's dolphins leaping. The sea is like blazing orange as the sun goes down. And I'm sitting on the deck all alone and I'm mending the nets. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, all of a sudden the scripture story comes to mind, you know, of the apostles who are called to leave their nets. And I just kind of like looked at the nets with the line in my hand, and I just kind of started to laugh and cry at the same time. And I looked out over the sea. I was like, Lord, am I supposed to be doing a different kind of fishing? And of course, there was a great peace that came over me. As scared as I was to think about that, in that moment, I realized I'd been running away for a real long time. I'd crossed the earth. I was out on the sea. I was doing all this stuff. But the same question had been there since I was little. And I didn't even really have to go to the other side of the world to address the deeper desire in my heart. I really just needed to humble myself and open up in prayer. So coming back from that trip, then I started to meet with the priest and to talk to the bishop and discern the seminary. And one step led to the next. And just an increasing peace, an increasing joy, and a lack of fear of something that previously was like this specter. The idea of being a priest terrified me. Once I kind of opened up to it, all of a sudden I realized that God would never ask me to go somewhere that wasn't going to lead me to him. God never misleads us, and I just needed to learn to trust that, Dina Marie.
Yeah, yeah. Father John Burns sharing a little bit of his vocation story. And Father, we have a weekly program with our vocations director with this archdiocese, Father Jeff Irvin, and he talks with these men who have become priests, and that there's that sense of that peace in their hearts. And one of the priests said, you know, don't just follow how you feel at the time, but there's something of a more deeper peace that one will experience when they recognize and start to accept their vocation from the Lord and move forward. Can you talk a little bit more about that heart? You've mentioned that desire desire of your heart and the peace. How can we recognize that when we start to follow God's will?
Yeah, that's a really important, like a spiritual skill, is to learn. And we have to sort of, whether we're discerning a vocation or not, all of us who are on the path mm-hmm. to holiness, we have to kind of learn by learning or by reflecting on our own stories in prayer. We have to learn how the Lord speaks to our hearts, because the language of love is personal. I mean, there are standard ways of understanding how God works and the discernment of spirits, all these wonderful gifts of the church, but it's also a deeply personal thing. And so we have to like look back over our lives and say, what are the moments where I had a sense of God, or I had a sense of the opposite, that I was moving away from God? What are the moments where I knew that the Lord needed something of me, or was calling me to something, where the Lord was really blessing me? And as we look down the line of our story, so to speak, in the past, we begin to recognize a bit of a pattern, movements of the heart when God is drawing us, when God is at work, when God is blessing us. We start to sort of compile like a database of these mm-hmm. graced memories by which we begin to understand how our hearts hear God and how they tend to respond to God as well as to not God, the opposite. Because as we look back, it's always clearer, huh, what God was doing. You know, in the moment, we're like, I don't really know what's going on. But then fast forward, you look back and you're like, oh, it's very clear what the Lord was up to in that experience. And as we look down the line of providence of our own personal story, we start to recognize how God approaches us and how he draws us. And that leads us in the present to be able to be sensitive and responsive to that as it's occurring, rather than just in hindsight. And that's always a work in progress. We always have to be reviewing our story prayerfully, reflecting on where God was and how he worked in our hearts, and then beginning to ask him, like, okay, Lord, help me to know where you are now, how you're approaching me in this moment, what you're calling for in this particular situation. And with time and with practice, it's like getting in shape, sort of, so to speak, physically. With time, our souls become attuned to the movements of God, and it becomes easier and easier by knowing our own stories, easier and easier to recognize what God's doing right now and how to respond to it in a way that is reflective of holiness and is drawing us toward the plan and the action of God in the present moment. I know Father Jeff Irvin, too. We were in seminary together. He's a great guy. I'm super glad that he gets to come on the air with you. That's great.
Absolutely. That's right, because you studied in Rome as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
great,
fantastic.
Great priest.
Father John Burns with us. His latest book is from Ave Maria Press, and you can learn more about the book and so many great resources online at AveMariaPress.com. Lift up your soul, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. We'll hear more about this great saint going back over 400 years, how he has impacted lives back then, but also right here and in the heart of a priest and in a heart of you as we open up our hearts to the most sacred heart of Jesus. Stay with us here on Mater Dei Radio, our in-person series on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from Leadership Circle member Catholic cemeteries, including Mount Calvary in Portland, Gethsemane in Happy Valley, and Mount Calvary in Eugene. Operated by the Archdiocese of Portland since 1888, Catholic Cemeteries provides full-service, pre-arranged burial plans for families. Information on special masses and events at ccpdxor.com or 503-292-6621.
Marriage. If you forget the love story, what are you left with? Rules, regulations, obligations? You're left with a really bad idea. But in the context of love, all the sacrifices and rules and regulations make perfect sense. Faith is kind of like that. Pope Francis recently said, we are in the midst of a love story, and if we don't understand that, we've understood nothing of what the Church is. Much of the world perceives Catholicism as a list of rules, regulations, and rituals that have nothing to do with real life. And we wonder why they're not interested? Friends, the Catholic faith is a love story. We're brought into this world through an act of love. All our lives we're looking for love, but no love in this life fully satisfies. That's because the God who is love made us for the love that is God. And when we strayed from him, he died on a cross to save us. That's how much he loves us. That's what all this is about. And that's what the world needs to be reminded of more than ever. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
The Golden Rule also reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life.
Did you know that Oregon taxpayers fund 10 abortions every day? The Archdiocese of Portland encourages all Catholics to sign the Stop Taxpayer Funding for Abortion petition. For more information on the measure and to sign the petition, go to stopthefunding.org. That's stopthefunding.org.
Summertime is a great time to drive the open road. Unless your old reliable wheels just aren't up to the task anymore. You know who could use that old car, though? Modern Day Radio. You can donate most vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, RVs, and boats to Modern Day Radio's vehicle donation program with the proceeds supporting a faith-filled Catholic broadcast, and in return, getting yourself a likely tax deduction. More information on our vehicle donation program at ModernDayRadio.com.
Leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is Matra Day Radio's in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie. Monday through Friday mornings, we come together and continue to shine through the Immaculate Heart of Mary to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And this weekend, a big, powerful weekend with the Sacred Heart of Jesus Feast Day. Now, we kind of missed Immaculate Heart of Mary's Feast Day because St. John the Baptist kind of moved in with his birthday on June 24th, but Father Matt Lieber said, the Blessed Mother is so humble that she'll let somebody else take her feast day, and particularly somebody like a St. John the Baptist who proclaimed that the Lord would be coming, and he is in our hearts today. Father John Burns with us, and his latest book is with Ave Maria Press, Lift Up Your Heart, and it takes you back to this great book that was written about 400 plus years ago from one of the doctors of the church, St. Francis de Sales, The Introduction to the Devout Life. And if you don't have that in your Catholic classics, get it today and then get this book as a companion as we work together. Father John, I want to have you tell us a little bit about how you stumbled upon this book, The Introduction to the Devout Life.
Oh man, The Introduction to the Devout Life, as you say, Dina Marie, is one of the real classics of our faith. And by far, I would say, and most I think would agree with me, St. Francis de Sales is one of history's best spiritual directors. I mean, his work, he was a bishop, but he really worked with the normal person. He wrote letters and pamphlets and spiritual direction he gave to people living in the world. And so his goal was always to help the normal person who's mm-hmm. trying to be holy take steps toward holiness. And so however we can get him into the hearts and lives of believers is going to be a great gift and a great grace. I experienced that myself just when I came across his book, Introduction to the Devout Life. Our seminary here in Milwaukee is named for him, St. Francis de Sales Seminary. So everybody who enters receives a copy of the introduction. And it just happened in my first semester in seminary. I didn't really have anything else to read, so I grabbed that book on the way to my holy hour. Mm-hmm. And right at the beginning, he makes some really, really insightful points about the journey, about sin, about heaven, about our destiny. We can unpack all that probably in the future parts of the show here. But I prayed through the beginning of that book myself, which is a set of 10 meditations that he lays out for the people he's directing. And it seriously changed my perspective, my whole perspective on the faith, on this pilgrimage toward heaven, on sin. It opened everything up for me right at the beginning of my real deeper conversion as I was preparing to discern the priesthood. And it's since then has been a part of my prayer life constantly. I use the meditations of St. Francis de Sales. And so that's really where the book, Lift Up Your Heart, that's where it came from. Was recognizing the tremendous wisdom and the genius of the sequence of 10 topics that he laid out for normal people trying to be holy. I wanted to take that and put it in the hands of the 21st century reader and give them something very practical. Anybody really who's looking to take a step deeper in their faith. I wanted to make St. Francis de Sales accessible to them because he just gets it. He gets mm-hmm. the human heart. He gets the process of conversion. He gets the journey to heaven. He's such a gift to us. And so that's really my hope, not only is to give people a very helpful, practical retreat, but also give them an introduction to one of history's greatest spiritual directors in St. Francis de Sales.
Right, right. Lift Up Your Heart, again, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. As you started to read and as you said, meditate this, you know, and I think there's no coincidence. I just happened to pick up this book as I started to go into my holy hour. You know, the Lord is really inviting you to listen and to hear his call for you. And for each of us, there is that call. Give us some ideas of how then you approach this time of meditation and prayer to try to prevent or maybe move away from the distractions, because they'll come up when we're trying to give time to the Lord. Other things pop up in our minds that distract us away from that quiet moment to listen.
Yeah, and that's right, a perfect spot where St. Francis de Sales understood the average life and the person mm-hmm. who's trying to pray. So when he put these meditations together, he gave a very simple method. He said, look, when you begin prayer, place yourself in the presence of God and ask him to inspire you. That's how every meditation should begin. And not just physically, that's helpful, obviously. The best place to pray is to physically place yourself in the presence of God before the Blessed Sacrament. If you can pray in a church or a chapel, that's best by far. But even spiritually, if you can't, whether you're in a church or not, to spiritually place yourself in the presence of God, to acknowledge that the Lord's gaze is upon you, that the Lord wants to pour grace and love into your life, that the Lord wants to invite you to deeper knowledge of him. So to place yourself in God's presence, and then to just be clear and explicit but brief and say, Lord, inspire me. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to know you. So he gave that very simple beginning to meditative prayer that is just a great practice, to place yourself in the presence of God and to ask him to inspire you. And then again, knowing how hard it is to stay focused and how hard it is to meditate and to pray on a single topic, he gave lots of practical advice in the introduction to The Devout Life on dealing with distractions. And he received a lot of his insight from another much smaller or less known book, The Spiritual Combat by Lorenzo Scopoli. And drawing from there, he said, one of the ways we can manage our distractions in prayer is to accept the fact that we can't really control our sort of subconscious, like things just bubble up in our mind. But and that's a primary movement. The first thing that happens is a distraction comes along. The secondary movement is when we choose to engage the distraction. Like we can't help that the thought comes up, but often when we're trying to pray, we'll be like, oh, here comes that thing I haven't figured out, or that problem I'm dealing with or that person that I can't handle right now. And maybe we're called to focus on those in prayer, but if we're trying to meditate on something else, those can be distractions. And DeSales said, one of the tricks for that is just to, in that secondary manner, choose to not engage it. To say, here comes that distraction, and I'm going to let it keep moving. He kind of talked about, like, they have, like, a directional movement. Like, we see the distraction coming, and that's when we go, oh, man, here comes that distraction again. I got to think it through and push it away. He said, just let it keep moving. If it's coming up in your mind, let it pass right through your mind. And then gently replace yourself in God's presence and ask him to inspire you the same way you began the prayer. Sometimes the story goes that DeSales would have to do that for a whole hour. He would just have to constantly place himself in God's presence and ask him to inspire him because he was so distracted for an entire hour that he couldn't maintain focus. And so he just kept on in patience and serenity, replacing himself in the presence of God. So again, just the examples of how he understands that we are not monks and nuns who spend all of our days perfecting our meditative prayer. We're in the world, we're busy, and the wisdom that he gives us is, well, let's figure out a way in the midst of that to quiet down a little bit, to focus our hearts, and to listen to the goodness and the love of our Heavenly Father.
Right. Well, it gives us a little hope that, okay, if a doctor of the church can have distractions for long periods of time, we can get there too, one step at a time, right?
Right, and that's the fun of getting to know the saints beyond just reading a few quotes, which are, you know, so common now, especially in a social media world. We get a lot of quotes flying through our feeds of the saints, but when we really get to know them, reading about their lives and reading their writings, they're all normal, you know, like the saints are saints because they were like us and journeyed through their fallenness into holiness, and that makes them so accessible for us. St. Francis de Sales, one of the stories goes and that he had a strong temper. But no one ever knew it. He's called the gentle saint because he was so good at working through his own limitations and presenting Christ to others that you wouldn't even know that he suffered impatience and a lot of anger towards some of the people that he had to deal with. And so just little things like that. We get to know the saints. It's very encouraging because they're not up on these pedestals as people who live perfect lives and will never be like that. They're just like us. They were living in the world. They struggled with sinfulness, but in the struggle, they didn't despair. They cried out to the Lord, they worked hard to live virtuously, and they became the great saints that they are for us.
Right, right. Father John, tell us a little bit about the introduction to The Devout Life. You mentioned that these are a set of 10 meditations, some of the focus that DeSales takes throughout that book.
Yeah, so the introduction to The Devout Life is a compilation of a couple things he did, and then he wrote a part to precede it, really to introduce the introduction, and that's where the meditations are. And what he was, he kind of was facing two dilemmas in his audience, and we remain the same audience as his, huh? The first dilemma was that it was easy to forget that there really is an ultimate goal to our lives, that there really is a purpose that God has programmed into our spiritual DNA, that God has a plan, and that ultimate goal is that we would be together forever in heaven. And DeSales, knowing that in the midst of busyness and having so many obligations and pressures in the world, and we could say those may have multiplied since then, I don't know, it was awfully busy back then for him. You can tell by his writings. He knew people forgot about heaven, didn't understand what heaven really was, and weren't thinking about it on a daily basis. That just like us today, we tend to sort of put those considerations off and say, sometime I'm going to stand in front of the Lord and have to give an account for my life. But that's not coming yet, so I'm going to do my things here and, you know, get my life the way I want it, and eventually I'll have to talk to the Lord about it. He's like, just like Jesus, he said, no, we don't know when that's going to be, and so we have to learn how to live ready for it. We have to learn to really desire heaven, which is hard, and then we have to bring that desire into all the little tiny movements of each and every day so that the choice to strive for God's plan, the choice to live for heaven, is not something that happens at the end of our lives, but is something that we integrate into the little deliberations, the small discernments we make, the types of people we spend time with, the way we spend our days, so that every day really is a pursuit of heaven. That's the big end game goal of the meditations and of Lift Up Your Heart. But the real practical part about it, and this is where I find him to be such a help, he was working with a lot of people who decided they wanted to get a little more serious about their faith and started the journey, made a good confession, got rid of the sins that they had committed and received God's mercy, and then would fall again, which, I mean, heaven's sake, we've all experienced that, right? We make a good confession, bam, we fall again. We're like, well, what happened? As he kind of drilled into that or dug into that with his directees, he discovered that beneath the surface, we tend to carry with us like an affection for our sin, he calls it. That though we might confess our sin in a sick sort of way, we still like our sins. We still kind of are fascinated by, again, in a sick way, what comes about through our sin. And he uses this really clear image, and it's a harsh almost image. He said, like the adulterous woman who detests her illicit love affairs but still loves to be courted and flirted with, so we are with our sinfulness. That's a very jarring way of putting it, but it's true when we're real honest with ourselves. Like, we know we shouldn't be sinning, but we're fascinated by sin. We kind of like it. So he set these meditations up because he realized you can't just flip a switch and say, I'm done with sin. You actually have to reorder your attachments, reorder your passions, reorder your whole heart so that attachment to sin doesn't keep pulling you back. And that doesn't happen overnight. It happens through a course of very intentional topics, prayerful meditations undertaken over the course of 10 days, so that after you've made this commitment to pursue heaven, you've also recognized how dangerous sin is and that it's the greatest obstacle to your reaching that purpose and that ultimate destiny that God has for you. In those two ways, the idea of heaven and the purification of our affection for sin, the meditations of DeSales and that which I try to put into Lift Up Your Heart are immensely practical and I really think necessary for every single one of us who are trying to get serious about living our Catholic faith.
Yeah. Lift Up Your Heart, based on the spiritual classic Introduction to the Devout Life from St. Francis de Sales. This is author Father John Burns. And as a priest today, Father, and seeing the state of the world today and reading so much about St. Francis de Sales 400 plus years ago, is there a difference in how we today and then looked at sin? Are we avoiding sin? Are we ignoring sin? Has it always been that way? What is this thing with our human nature and this acknowledgement or not an acknowledgement of sin existing?
Yeah, that's a huge question. And, you know, measuring history and then trying to assess our current situation is always so hard. Mm-hmm. We do it through our own lens. But when we go back and read St. Paul, especially like the letter to the Romans, when he's calling out these litanies of sins, no matter how proud we might want to be of how far we've come with our technology and our science and everything else, in reality, human nature has not really advanced or changed. We still have all those same sins that they were grappling with in the Roman Empire. And so we can be proud of ourselves at the level of the externals, but within, we still have all the same dilemmas and struggles and problems. And so that's why we can remember that the words of Christ and the timelessness of the saints' contributions to understanding Christ are always applicable, because we have the same dilemmas we had 2,000 years ago when Christ came and spoke to us in the flesh. So, yeah, have things changed? I think especially they have changed in the way we talk about sin and death and hell and heaven, you know, the four last things, judgment, because they're hard topics. You know, people don't really want to say that it's possible that I could go to hell. They don't want to say I'm a sinner. because then you're saying that you're not perfect. And we kind of, it comes out of that whole, that culture of, this is just one demonstration of the problem, I guess, but you know how everybody gets an award at sporting events. There's never really, you get participation awards and first, second, third, fourth, fifth place and consolation. Everybody gets something because nobody wants to not be included and not be affirmed. And we don't swing the other way and say, well, everybody should be rejected. But we have to be realistic about what it means to be free. And we just heard it in the gospel this last weekend, mm-hmm. that if you reject me, I'll reject you. If mm-hmm. you receive me, I'll receive you. I mean, the power of human freedom is that we can choose the Lord or we can reject the Lord. And if we choose to live a life here on earth of rejecting the Lord, we choose for ourselves an eternity without the Lord. I mean, that's our free choice. God judges us, but it's really based on what we've already done, what we've shown ourselves to want, to desire. So we've kind of, I think, gotten a little bit afraid to talk about the reality of sin, the power of our freedom to commit sin, and the fact that sin is deadly, which is all, yes, that's a little bit scary. However, it's also supposed to be a wake-up call so that we don't have to get to that moment of standing before the Lord and say, oh, I never really thought this stuff through. So I think that's where we as a church, to your question, Dean and Marie, have mm-hmm. to be a little more intentional, not condemnatory, because it's the Lord's to judge, right? But to be realistic about what it means to be free, what sin is, and the fact that sin is, as St. Francis de Sales says, a tremendously and even potentially deadly, a tremendously problematic obstacle to our pursuit of the good life to which the Lord calls us.
And he calls us into an abundant life of grace. Father John Burns with us again. Lift Up Your Heart is the book from AveMariaPress.com if you want to find out more about the book and really get a hold of this summer season and spend some time with the Lord. Here is an opportunity right here. It's already in a book form for you, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. We'll talk a little bit more about the book and the value of time of retreat, a time of really spending some time with the Lord wherever you are, whether you're discerning a vocation, you're in the midst of married life and raising kids, you're in the priesthood, you're in the seminary, you're single, wherever you are, to let the Lord guide you deeper into his heart, into your vocation. We want to spend some time and do that together with the guidance of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Stay with us here on Mater Dei Radio in-person series, The Bridge Between Your Faith and Everyday Life.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from Leadership Circle member Catholic cemeteries, including Mount Calvary in Portland, Gethsemane in Happy Valley, and Mount Calvary in Eugene. Operated by the Archdiocese of Portland since 1888, Catholic Cemeteries provides full-service, prearranged burial plans for families. Information on special masses and events at ccpdxor.com or 503-292-6621.
Hello, this is Emily Jaminet with A Mother's Moment. Nothing can be more challenging than figuring out the logistics for a large family. It seems like the pace of life picks up when your house is full of big kids and little kids. Finding a balance between what to do can be a real challenge. These are days when I wonder if I can really meet the needs of a large family ranging from 3 to 15 years old. As Catholics, we need to turn to Christ to help us run our home. Christ cares about us, for nothing is too big or too small for him. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it states, "Cast all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you." As mothers, we have a lot of anxieties that can keep us up at night. The key is to trust in Christ to help meet you in your family's needs and know what to prioritize. When we prioritize our activities and pray about how to spend our time, we can gain a better perspective on our life and how we are going to live it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, show us what you want for our children and how they can grow up into healthy and happy Catholic adults. Amen. May we be a light in this world by growing in our faith.
Thank you. It's a summer celebration as Mater Dei Radio brings you an exciting evening of food, fellowship, and family fun with our big summer barbecue. Circle your calendar for Tuesday night, August 22nd, and join our special guest, Portland Archbishop Alexander Sample, at St. Paul Catholic Church in Eugene. We'll make it a memorable night with dynamic presentations, exciting door prizes, prayer, lively fellowship, and a delicious barbecue dinner featuring hand-pulled pork, tender smoked chicken, and all the fixins, including your seasonal favorites like juicy watermelon and fruit crisp for dessert. It's fun for the whole family at Mater Dei Radio's Summer Barbecue with special guest Portland Archbishop Alexander Sample, Tuesday evening, August 22nd at St. Paul Parish in Eugene. Tickets and more details on this special night are available now at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com to be a part of the big celebration at Mater Dei Radio's Summer Barbecue.
And we continue to lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. You're in tune to In Person. I'm Dina Marie, along with Father John Burns, today our guest, and his latest book from Ave Maria Press, Lift Up Your Heart, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. And maybe you already have the book, The Introduction to the Devout Life. This is a spiritual classic. You need to get a hold of this book. I know as a Catholic convert myself, it's been such a gift to be able to get a hold of these wonderful classics and to spend some time in prayer and to meditate on them. Father Burns, tell us a little bit about your approach to this book, and maybe for the summer season, a way for our listeners to really take this book and spend some time in prayer on retreat with you and St. Francis de Sales.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for asking that question, because that's something I think that is on all of our hearts, is the knowledge that wouldn't it be great to spend an extended period of time with the Lord? Or wouldn't it be great to kind of sort stuff through and deal with and address a couple of these issues that I'm just carrying around with me? Mm. Wouldn't it be great to make a retreat? And we all know, unless we are blessed with a lot of free time, we all know it's really hard to carve out the time, especially if we've got families or work obligations, the time to get away and make a serious retreat, a whole weekend or even a whole week. That's hard to do for most people. But deep down, I think we all know it would help us for sure. Yeah. St. Francis de Sales saw that, and that was why he put together the meditations the way he did. That's why I wrote Lift Up Your Heart, is because we need to go on retreat, for sure, we should, and every year if possible. But in the meantime, we also need to find a way to make our daily lives prayerful lives, that it's not just our going out to the desert as Christ did or up on the mountain to be away with the Lord. That's crucial. But we can't let that time be separated out from the rest of our lives in a way that, like, okay, when I'm on retreat, I pray, and otherwise I do everything else. We have to find a way to weave prayer into what we're doing every day. And so Lift Up Your Heart is supposed to be that, a retreat in the world. That really, in the morning, the reading, if you do it in the morning or the evening, whenever, but the daily reading is only 10, maybe 20 minutes long, and then you sit with it for a little bit. But what I really love about De Sales and his idea that this has to happen for us while we're in the world is to break down that divide between our prayer and our activities, he used the image of a garden. And he said, when someone spends time in a beautiful garden, they enjoy the flowers and the greenery and the aromas and the fragrance, and they're sad when they have to go outside of the garden and go back to their regular lives. So he said, what one ought to do is collect up one, two, or three flowers from the garden and carry them with you throughout the day so that you can smell the flowers and with that fragrance return to the blessings of the time spent in the garden. And he says we should use that in our spiritual lives, that there should be a garden time each day where we sit down in our quiet, even if just for a few moments, to be with the Lord. And then as there is grace in that time, to kind of name that, one, two, or three graces, one, two, or three flowers, and carry them with us into the day so that when we get really busy and the kids are running around or we're hosting a party or the boss is on our case, we can return to the fragrance of that grace from our prayer, not forget what the Lord did, and start to weave that into the average day. And so Lift Up Your Heart is a way of doing that very concretely, with a set of sequential topics with a goal in mind, doing that concretely for 10 days and then working throughout those 10 days to weave the prayer into the whole rest of the day so that, again, this ultimate choice for heaven is something that we consider regularly and kind of refer back to throughout the rest of our lives. The other reason that I loved his meditations and I wrote Lift Up Your Heart is because he said to sales, we should do this once a year at least. Mm-hmm. And we should go back through this set of considerations and test our resolve and renew our commitment to live Jesus and to live the way that he taught us. And so by having the introduction to Devout Life and having Lift Up Your Heart, you're putting in your own life or the life of someone you give it to, not just a book to read, but a retreat to make, and a retreat that really should be repeated every year. So it's like a lifelong resource to ensuring that whenever life does start to get off track, you have a very concrete way to return to a set of prayerful meditations that you know will reorder your life toward the pattern of Jesus Christ. And so it's just immensely practical. The sales wisdom tried to capture that and Lift Up Your Heart so that we have a way of just making sure that we don't lose track of the ultimate goal, and that when we can't get away and make a good, long, extended retreat, we can do so in the midst of the busyness of just living ordinary lives.
Right. Lift Up Your Heart is the book from Father John Burns. Father, you mentioned earlier that you had one friend who early on invited you to come to church to kind of be that companion to say, hey, keep on this path. Where in this type of a retreat, or just really as we approach a retreat or a time in prayer, does a spiritual director, a friend, our spouse, our kids, others, how do we incorporate others in our spiritual growth?
Yeah, but a huge question and an important one, because especially for marriage, when one of the two is undergoing deep conversion, how important it is to try and help share those graces with the other, because conversion never really happens at the exact same pace for two people. The Lord's just interacting with the heart in different ways and different paces. And so however we can open up the graces of our prayer, not in a way that's like weird and creepy and overwhelming for someone, but just kind of begin to share a little bit of what's happening in our prayer, that helps us kind of name what the Lord's doing, and it also invites somebody else into it. There's a degree of like deeply personal reality to it, but there's also the fact that when God blesses us, he wants that blessing to flow forth like a fragrance upon the earth. It's not just for us. So spiritual friendship especially is super important. And one of the things I've seen with Lift Up Your Heart already is that groups of friends are buying it and doing it together. Mm-hmm. They're saying, hey, I grabbed this book. I got one for you. Let's make this retreat together, and let's check in every couple days or even every day. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. We have a small group at the parish here who's just doing one meditation per week and getting together every week to discuss it, so that they're opening up the graces of their own prayer before the Lord and then processing them together. And they talk about how it's really encouraging them, because they're like, oh, yeah, I struggle with that too, or man, I really needed to hear this. How did you hear that? And, oh, this is what the Lord kind of was prompting me to think about, and I didn't really put it that way, but thanks for bringing that up. So the types of spiritual friendships and undertaking a journey together, reading a book, whether it be Lift Up Your Heart or the Bible or another one of the writings of the saints, to be willing to share in the journey together, to talk about it with each other, to pray together, that is absolutely crucial, because only a few of us are called to be hermits, you know, and to go live alone and undertake the interior life in a manner that is not shared in the community of believers. And so whenever we hear that pulse from the Lord to go deeper in prayer, it's a good thing to ask, okay, Lord, who else do you want to come with me on this? Or who else should I open this with? How can I help spread and share the goodness of what you're doing in my heart with those nearest me or those that you're placing in my life? Because in the end, it's the Lord's desire that we would all be together forever. We're on this pilgrimage together, and he wants us to share in it as brothers and sisters. And that's just what's so exciting and so beautiful, but also demands a little bit of creativity on our parts to say, okay, how can I make this not just my own personal pursuit, but a common pursuit of the body of Christ, to strive to live Jesus, as St. Francis says.
Yeah, building that community is so critical, and it's part of our unity. It's building that unity within one another. We've heard, and I think it, Matthew Kelly might have gotten it from somebody else, but our lives change when our habits change. When you look at this retreat, something that we spend some time in, how does this connect with the sacramental life and really starting to change the way we live our lives?
Well, yeah, a huge question. You're right, Matthew Kelly got that from Aquinas and the whole history of the virtues, really, that we put virtues, habits in place, and everything, our hearts grow in grace and conformity to Christ. And the sacraments especially, there's no place more tangibly in our lives that God, there's no place more significant than the sacraments, in which the Lord touches our hearts and blesses them. It's like when he reaches down into creation to touch our lives and make them more like his, or to perfect them, to heal them. And so DeSales, constantly, as well as in Lift Up Your Heart, I try to reference the need for one's own prayer life and for a rich, what I call a rich sacramental rhythm. You know, frequency in Mass, obviously on the Sabbath, but also when possible during the week, Eucharistic adoration, regularity with confession. Because when we give the Lord the space to touch our lives in these very tangible moments of grace, we're allowing him to continue his work of creation, as it were. Like he created us, but he wants to be at work constantly in our lives, kind of embellishing or making more beautiful the sculpture, the creation of our lives, of our hearts. And it's through the sacraments especially that he cuts away that which needs to be cut away. He polishes what should be polished. And he just embellishes the jewel of our hearts so that we are a more beautiful reflection of his creative goodness to the whole world. The sacraments are at the very heart of that. And so if we're praying and we're regular with the sacraments, we can always say, I know that I'm making myself available to the Lord so that he can do what he wants to do, which is always good in me.
Absolutely. Again, the book is Lift Up Your Heart from Ave Maria Press. You can get online at AveMariaPress.com for more. As we close, Father, really a closing prayer and a blessing for us as we enter the summer season and take advantage of this time for retreat and to reflect with St. Francis de Sales.
Yes. And Lord God, in this time we open our hearts to you and we ask you to pour your spirit of goodness and love and mercy upon us, to dispose us to recognize your action in our lives, to give us the courage to uproot that which is sinful, anything and everything that stands in the way of communion, of holiness and joy. Please anoint us, Lord, that going forth from this time together, we would find the courage to hear St. Francis de Sales' invitation to live Jesus, that courageously we would strive for heaven in the day-to-day of our lives, and that we would always seek your help, your guidance, and your loving friendship along the way. Through the intercession of the beautiful heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the prayers of St. Joseph, her most chaste and holy spouse, may the Lord touch and bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you and your priesthood. We look forward to having you back here on Mater Dei Radio.
Thanks so much. God bless you, everybody.
All right. Again, Father John Burns with us. Lift Up Your Heart, attend a personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. And as we close today, I want to close with these words tweeted by Pope Francis this weekend. He said, each one of us is precious. Each one of us is irreplaceable in God's eyes. Continue to hold that peace of Jesus in your day and share that with others as we lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is Mater Dei Radio. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to In Person with Dina Marie, produced through the facilities of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. For more about this program and the morning drive, visit us online at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.